The future. It means different things to different people. For some, the future means rebuilding. It means restoring what we know. It's securing the familiar. But for Oasis, the future is rebirth. It's building something new. The future is advancement. It's not looking back. It's not about regrets. It's not about mistakes. The future is a wide open door, a blank canvas, a horizon of endless opportunity. The future is Kailus. A new world, a new beginning, where we can abandon the past and embrace the wonder of the new. We all have a choice. Only some of us will have a future. It's your decision. Brought to you by Oasis.
Science log, entry 44, Dr. Lauren Wood. The crimson frost fungus has made its appearance on living organic matter. I found it on myself, on my body, this evening. I first noticed it on my toes when I pulled off my boots. There was an unusual discoloration around my toenails, and between my toes was exposed raw skin. I initially assumed it could be blistering, or ringworm caused by the damp weather. But upon closer inspection, I saw the presence of those tiny red fungal sacs around the exposed skin. Immediately, I examined the rest of my body for any other signs of the growth. It hadn't spread yet. There was no reason to think it would abate unless treated. I've applied clotrimazole cream, doubled my socks to keep my feet extra dry. In order to avoid a panic, I haven't told the rest of the team. However, I suspect more of us could be affected.
Dear sister, I hope you are well, and that you are taking good care of the children. I miss them so much. I knew that I would, but every so often, the realization that I will never see them again, at least not as children, sometimes brings me to tears. Things are going quite well for us. You would be shocked to see how much our congregation has grown in the past few days. While the disappearance is a troubling incident, it has done wonders for our mission here. The other colonists are fearful, which has made them open to Reverend Moreau's message of judgment and transcendence. When he speaks, they crowd around him, and during our services, our humble church is full. We are laying a foundation here on this new world. Unlike this sinful and broken place from which we've come, Kailus will be a beacon of perfection for the entire universe. I wanted to tell you about a curious meeting that occurred today. Someone paid a visit to our church I thought I recognized. Not from the colony, of course, but from back home. I had finished afternoon prayers and was doing my chores, sweeping the plank floor of our congregation hall, when he appeared. He's a tall man. His face was handsome, but his eyes were sinister. I could tell there was something different about him immediately. He wasn't dressed in the usual worker coveralls. He wore a suit. Something about him troubled me immediately. He introduced himself, he said his name was Whitlock, and asked where he could find the Reverend. He looked so familiar. Whatever it was, the memory, it wasn't good. Before I could respond, Reverend Moreau appeared and introduced himself. He kindly asked if I would excuse them for a moment. Of course, I obeyed, but I loitered near the doorway as they spoke together. Lots of people had come to see the Reverend, especially lately, but they did not speak in secret. They didn't speak together for long. Whitlock left after a few minutes, exiting the church, looking like a satisfied house cat who had just finished a meal. He caught me looking at him. It was evident he didn't recognize me, but he smiled and said, "Well, I won't repeat it, but it was vile. What does a man like that want with the Reverend? And why would the Reverend bother with such a man? It will trouble me until I understand how I know him. Does this name, Whitlock, mean anything to you? I wish I could speak with you, sister. Truly speak with you. Until then, I must be satisfied and patient. Please give the children my best. May the star's blessing shine upon you."
Hey, bud. We're taking a quick rest, so I figured I'd send another update. Today hasn't been bad. The forest has thinned out some, which has been making walking much easier. Thankfully, the rain hasn't started yet, but we're all expecting it to blow in soon. There's been no signs of Annabelle. No tracks, no gear. I'm starting to get worried about this guy, Gerard. I think I mentioned him in my last message. The missing girl's husband. Ever since we left the Knock yesterday, his behavior has been strange. I mean, we're all pretty on edge. And I get that his wife is missing. But he hasn't spoken to anyone. Last night, I'm not even sure if he ever slept. When everyone was turning in, he remained by the fire, staring into it like he was lost inside his head. Even Cash said something, and he didn't respond. We found him like that the next morning when we woke up. I don't think he's eaten anything either. At least, I haven't seen him eat. And then today, as we were walking through the forest, we almost lost him. We were walking single file, but rotating positions from front to rear every half hour to keep pace. Well, at one point, Gerard was in the rear and I was in front of him. Cash gives the order to rotate positions, but when I turn around, Gerard is nearly out of sight. 15, 20 yards back. He's just standing there, staring off into the trees. I ask him if he heard something, but as soon as I do, he snaps out of it and comes hustling back to the group. Of course he doesn't say a word. I overheard some of the others say there was an incident a few days back. He accused one of the other colonists of hurting Annabelle. I asked Max about this when we stopped for lunch. Was this guy dangerous? It sounded like he might be unstable. But he told me to leave it alone. If your wife disappeared in the woods on a strange planet, would you let anyone keep you out of the search party? I guess not, but damn. It makes me nervous.
Hey guys, gals, babies, geezers. Ty here. So that can only mean one thing. This is Tycast. So, things have been getting interesting around here. The governor was finally convinced to launch a second search expedition, this one destined for Ashboro. I immediately volunteered my services, but was sadly refused. I was more than disappointed. What better fodder for you, my hungry fans, than a delicious trip into the heart of the unknown and a journey towards the lost colony itself? I think the governor may have been suspicious of my motives, and I guess I don't blame him. My only consolation is it gives me more time to investigate the strange occurrences here within the colony walls. It's not only the sightings and the mysterious sounds I reported earlier. Something else is afoot. You'd have to be blind not to see the sudden change taking place within our walls. Almost a third of the population has converted to the cultist group led by that weirdo Moreau. More and more each day stalk about in the typical robes, muttering greetings to each other that make them sound like lunatics. Stars blessings this, stars blessings that. It's unnerving. Even Milo, my fan, my boy in the galley, has divulged he's been considering their teachings. He says some of what Moreau says makes a lot of sense. Now, fans, you know me. I don't like to tell people what they should do and what they should believe. But I'm a little unnerved by any group that claims to have all the answers or know the only true way. And this Moreau guy. People have said his calm is soothing. They like his confidence, but I can't shake the feeling he's conning all of us. Call it a sixth sense or ESP, but there's something about him. It's like he's up to something. Which brings me back to Annabelle. I've heard she wasn't alone when she vanished. She had been partnered with someone, another young woman named Marie Tanner, an ardent follower of Moreau and his Children of the Stars. Is there something there? Could this mysterious group of religious zealots, who've inserted their ways into our colony, have something to do with Annabelle's disappearance? I look around at the fear that this incident has inspired and wonder. Moreau has certainly gained from it. I think it's time we have a little chat with Marie and see what she really has to say about Annabelle's disappearance. More to come soon. In the meantime, be sure to like and subscribe. Ty out.
Gerard has gone missing. We realized it when we awoke this morning. It set us all on edge, even more than before. We made a brief search around our camp this morning, but we couldn't find any sign of him. I knew there was something going on with that guy. Now there's two colonists missing. It's not supposed to work this way. We're only a day out from Ashboro now. The landscape has changed from green forests to gray swampland. The trees here look older. It's a fitting place for an abandoned colony. A fitting place for ghosts.
Log entry 4-TAC-571-ALPHA. Caldwell, Liam. The supply ship is now 5 days late. I've begun to doubt it will ever come. The colonists would probably be as worried as I am, but Moreau has given them assurances the gods will provide for all his children. I secretly wonder who qualifies as children and who does not. There is now a disturbing number of cult members among us. Over a third of the colonists wear the robes. Most of the new members are laborers, but not all. Several of the nurses on Dr. Falco's staff have joined, as well as some of my security forces. Moreau has managed to enlist the laborers who have joined him in building a larger church structure to accommodate the blessed increases in their number. I've spent the day reviewing the limited food stores we have. We have a little over 3 weeks' supply. If we institute some more severe rationing, it may last us a little longer. The crops we are attempting to grow are not yet flourishing, but thankfully we've seen no signs of infection by the red fungi. I've stationed security, men I think I can trust in Cash's absence. Those I'm assured are not part of Moreau's clan, around the food stores and the garden. Meanwhile, I've begun exploring our other food options. Mr. Patel Garang has managed to rig together a capable boat using some unused metal plating and his own personal supplies. It isn't tested far from the shore, but it may be possible to fish these waters. I've become obsessed with the possibility the saboteur is among us, and have been preoccupied with identifying who it might be. I find myself looking twice at every face I pass as I walk through the colony. I'm becoming paranoid. I tried to radio Dr. Woods to get any status of their expedition, but the distance is much too far. There's not much for us to do but wait and hope for their return.
Science log, entry C9, Dr. Lauren Wood. A thunderstorm began this afternoon. The wind and rain were so severe, our expedition couldn't go on. So we've made camp to wait it out. I'm grateful for the delay, as it gives me time to think. It's possible we've encountered the first evidence of intelligent sentient life here on Kylos. 2 hours ago, before the storms began, the expedition came across what I can only describe as a cultural artifact of some kind. It was in the middle of a clearing where the trees had been purposefully cut down. There were 3 figures, approximately 2 meters high, wooden totems carved from tree trunks to resemble human-like forms. One had his arms raised up to the sky, the second pointed down to the ground, and the third, the one in the middle, had its arms outstretched. This third one was the only one which had some kind of facial feature, 2 holes where eyes might be. This final statue was painted red. Could the previous colonists have carved these? Or was this truly the product of another intelligent life form native to this planet? If so, what were these figures' purpose? Were they religious? Sacred? Was it a warning? And if so, warning us from what?
Is this Elizabeth Devereaux, the writer?
I was a reporter for the Globe, if that's what you mean.
I might have a story for you, if you're interested.
And what would that be about?
Murder.
I adored Mr. Croft. We trusted each other.
His work had the potential to change how we thought about our place in the universe.
Aiden was different. He was exciting, a real alpha man, and that's my type, obviously.
I'd known him since we both were undergrads at Harvard. We didn't exactly run in the same sort of crowd back then.
He said he was worried Adam's life was in danger. The threats had been made.
It was a mess. There were 8 stab wounds in the back, and the throat was cut. Oh, there was a lot of blood.
I want you to interview the suspects and tell me who's lying.
You were the last person to see him alive.
Other than the murderer, you mean?
Aiden collected Rothko's to hang on his bathroom wall. We didn't exactly run in the same circles.
You think I finally had enough and stabbed him to death? Cut his throat?
I don't want you to contact her again. She called me last night. She was hysterical.
Aiden could be a real bastard, but that doesn't mean I wanted him dead.
At the time, I didn't think much of it, but I noticed one of the steak knives was missing.
It was filled with books and paintings about the occult. Pentagrams and pyramids.
But there were accusations.
No matter what anyone says or thinks, I always respected Aiden Grant.
There was a bad energy. Aiden's death was not the first, nor was it the last.
You're talking about the affair.
You know about that?
There was someone spying on Croft.
I asked you to speak with the guests. It sounds like you're digging up more bodies.
This isn't about finding out who was in the library with the candlestick. There's no way anyone was in the room.
You see, the means and the motives weren't the problem with this case. That night, no one had the opportunity.
From the creator of the Oasis Transmissions comes a new original story, Seven Suspects, an audio fiction whodunit. Follow each episode to unravel who's lying, who's telling the truth, and who murdered Aiden Croft. Seven Suspects. Listen and subscribe on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you stream your podcasts.
Memory is a maze, unique to each of us. Through this practice, we explore our pasts and make a better life possible. Let's begin.
Have you ever heard of something called Ignota?
Sorry, no, but I'm sure as hell interested.
He encouraged these lucid experiences.
I'm on a beach. The island. I think so. It's cold.
Morgan, I heard from Caleb.
I'm living in an alternate timeline. So are you.
I'm not ashamed of a false reality.
You said this was for a TV program?
Better. A podcast.
Hello, Traveler. Thank you for your interest. We've been expecting you. A session will be held this Friday. Do not be late. If you lose your way, ask for help up.
I found my love in Avalon, beside the bay.
I want you to record the whole thing.
Someone like that can be dangerous to our group, our community.
Do you realize what kind of trouble you got your friend into?
Every night, my dreams were nightmares.
These people are dangerous.
It's only the beginning. Every journey starts with one step.
So I think I'll travel on to Avalon.
Close your eyes. A new original story. Listen and subscribe on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you stream your podcasts.